Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by nobody.
Welcome in to another edition of Dave and Ryan's movie review. Take 133. Is that right?
I lost count.
I did too. So we had to do this after Christmas because it was so freaking busy around here. We were closed over the holiday and everything. So I guess first and foremost, Ryan, how was your Christmas?
It was good. How was yours?
It was very good. We get up early on Christmas morning and go up to my mom's about 9 o'clock. And so I'm in charge of breakfast, so I had to get up early on Christmas morning because I wanted to have it ready before we took it up there. So I got up about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then my daughter and her boyfriend and my other daughter were home, and I kicked them out about 12:30 in the morning. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. That's all. I don't. But it was fun to be able to get together, play games, and those kinds of things. So that was nice. But no, it was good. It was good. Did you just spend time with your families? That was hanging out, and that was a good thing.
Yeah. Every Christmas, every Christmas Eve we have soup and chili, and I made it this year with some bread bowls. So that, and then Christmas morning, we go up and we have quiche.
Oh,
that my mom makes, and then the little nephews tear apart the entire house.
Well, that's
with their
okay.
New toys.
That's what they're there for, right?
Yes, especially the new one who is just 3.
Well, that was probably a lot of fun, though.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. All right, are you ready to get into it? Because this whole show, with the exception of our review of Avatar, this whole show is the year in review.
Year in review.
Yes. 2026, right around the corner. So first things first, let's go to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard, the place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
So we thought in This Week in Hollywood, we'd cover some deaths and some big stories from 2025. Let's start with people that passed away in 2025. First and foremost, in January, was David Lynch.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting director. The thing about David Lynch is, though, you wouldn't have Twin Peaks if it weren't for David Lynch.
No, not at all.
And that was a very interesting and fun series to watch. Then right after him was Joan Plowright. A lot of people may not know Joan Plowright unless you've seen the one that maybe most people will know. She played Mrs. Wilson in the Dennis the Menace movie.
Yeah, I remember watching that on Nick at Night.
She was just one of those lovely, grandmotherly type matronly people.
Yeah.
Then in February, we lost Gene Hackman, and that was kind of a tragic series of events,
yep.
Him and his wife. And then it seemed like the next day, it was really a week later, Michelle Trachtenberg passes away.
Yeah.
And she had been sick for some time, though.
Yeah, she was not looking good.
Yep. Then on April 1st, everybody hoped that it was an April Fool's Day joke, but it was not. Val Kilmer passes away in April. I'm starting to go through and relive these things, and 2025 sucked, man.
Dave's getting a little teary.
I'm not proud. I'm not happy of this. Of course, then in July, we lose Ozzy. Ozzy Osbourne passes away. He was in a movie. He was in Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Cut the guy some slack. Yeah. And,
did you watch his final concert?
I did not.
It was pretty cool.
Was it pretty good? That was just a tough day. Then Terrence Stamp, kind of out of nowhere, passes away in August. And Terrence Stamp, I remember him first and foremost from, he was Zod. He was the original Zod.
Yeah.
In the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve.
He wasn't that old. How old was he?
87.
Okay, he was pretty old.
He was pretty old.
For some reason, I was thinking like he was only in his 70s.
No, he was in 87. And then Robert Redford in September.
Yeah.
We say the fact that what kind of put him over the edge probably was them taking away the Sundance Film Festival to Boulder, Colorado. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. But yeah, that was really, really sad. Because what a talent. And then Diane Keaton. You know, I've had my runarounds with Diane Keaton. I like her in some things. Sometimes I don't like her. You know what we actually watched over the Christmas break? And I was like, she was actually really good in that.
What?
We watched The Family Stone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say crap. My mind just went blah.
Uh-oh.
The Woody Allen movie.
Oh, Annie Hall?
Annie Hall, yeah.
No, I will never watch that movie.
I just watched How I Met Your Mother the other night, and that was the episode where he met up with the blind date, where they weren't going to Google each other or whatever. And, you know, Annie Hall was on it. And I was like, oh.
But, The Family Stone was actually a really good flick.
Yes.
Watched that the other night. And I can't believe that I waited this long to watch it. That was what I told my wife. I said, and then, of course, December 14th, Rob Reiner and his wife were victims of a homicide at their home. So, you know, not a good year for big names in 2025. You know, Redford and Keaton and Rob Reiner, David Lynch, a lot of big names that passed on in 2025. So that was a lot of sadness there for that one. So then let's look at some of the big news in movies, blockbuster hits, and we're going to talk today. We're going to cover worldwide box office and domestic box office, and a lot of these are on those lists. Nezha 2. The Chinese animation became a worldwide hit. Not necessarily in the United States, though.
Yeah, like, I've seen the first one, and I believe you can find the first one on Netflix.
Yeah, so there was that. And then Disney, of course, did what Disney does. Zootopia 2.
You mean this wasn't a failure before it even came out?
I don't know. Zootopia 2, Jurassic World Rebirth, The Fantastic Four, Captain America, Thunderbolts, and Lilo and Stitch. That's...
not bad.
That's a pretty impressive box office right there. Then, of course, you had the franchise staples. Maybe we put Mission Impossible to bed.
Doubt it.
Called The Final Reckoning, but we'll see.
They did leave it open.
They did. Wicked for Good. And then Final Destination really came out of nowhere and did some big money at the box office.
Yeah.
And then your favorite movie of the year, a Minecraft movie.
No.
Did really well as well, but it's kind of only domestic. I was going to say kind of interesting. We're going to talk about that when we get into the box office because it was not a huge success worldwide, but domestically it did okay. And then different films from like Paul Thomas Anderson. There's one battle after another. I was just telling you. Mm-hmm. I think I'll watch that over the weekend. It's on HBO Max now. Sinners. I watched it. It was okay.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, it was an okay flick. Kind of different from Ryan Coogler, but it's one of those movies that kind of draws you in about one thing, and then it's totally different. It turns into a vampire movie out of nowhere. So, not a bad flick. AI's growing role in movies and everything like that. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff when we get into Avatar today. Because I have an opinion on this one. I really do.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
That's right. And then DC's resurgence with Superman. Then you're going to get, of course, in 2026, you're going to get Supergirl. They just named that Brainiac is going to be the villain in the next Superman movie, which is called Man of Tomorrow, which isn't going to be a Superman movie. I don't know. Hollywood location shifts. A lot of productions moved overseas this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course... who could forget we had the movie, we had the Eras Tour movie. So we've got to talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce getting engaged.
No, we don't.
Okay.
No, we absolutely do not.
All right. We'll move on.
I'm kind of sick and tired of the Kelces.
Are you?
Every week on
TV. Here's the thing that I thought was strange. Cause I saw a headline over the weekend with Jason Kelce saying that it's hard to maintain a private life. Dude, you brought this on yourself.
I will say the one thing I do like about the Kelces is how Gronk makes fun of them.
Yes.
I would have caught that.
But I just, you know, I'm not trying to be terrible to Jason Kelsey and his wife. I realize they have kids and that they want to kind of raise them in a bubble, and that's fine because some people should do that. But you know what? You have a huge podcast. You're on ESPN. You're on everything from the opening of an envelope to a mic drop at anywhere else. You're there. And then his wife has her podcast, and I'm not blaming them for anything. But these are all things that they are doing.
You can't say you want to live a private life when you're out in the spotlight.
Yes. Yes. If I see it, he's the brand ambassador for, what is it, Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
One more time, if I see that thing, thank God football season's just about over. I won't have to watch that commercial anymore.
No, it'll be on all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get some sort of a Kelsey commercial for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we? So he's not playing in it. So.
Yeah, but we'll yeah. Him and his brother will do something.
They will.
Because there is talk about him, he might be retiring.
He might be done. We'll see.
Gosh, and does that mean they're both going to be on TV now commentating?
Who knows? Who knows? Go for the quiet
life. I will say my mom got Fitzpatrick and Kelsey mixed up. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't like that guy. I was like, why? He's like, I don't like the Kelsey. I was like, that's not Kelsey, that's Fitzpatrick.
I like Fitzpatrick on Amazon.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
Fitzmagic.
The Fitzmagic. I like him on there. All right, so today's show, we're going to talk about Avatar, Fire and Ash. I just barely got finished watching this movie, and I started on Sunday. So we'll talk about that one, and then we'll get into worldwide box office and domestic box office, and then we're going to close out with Ryan and myself's top 10 films of 2025 that we saw. We didn't see everything, but the ones that we saw, these are the ones that we liked. That work? Yep. All right, so when we come back, we'll be talking Avatar, Fire, and Ash on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
Welcome back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. Today, we're going to talk about Avatar, Fire, and Ash. Now, this movie's going to set you back 3 hours and 17 minutes. It's rated PG-13. They even sneak an F-word in this one.
Yeah.
I was impressed. The usual suspects are back. Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana is back in this one. Stephen Lang, you've got Sigourney Weaver. Jermaine Clement is in this, I noticed. Giovanni Ribisi is in this. There's a lot of people hiding in the background. Kate Winslet is in this movie, just hiding in the background of this one. And it's just a continuation of the Avatar story. We meet the Fire and Ash people.
Yeah,
the tribe, I guess we should say.
Yeah, they're kind of like a cult, like a drug cult.
They kind of are, kind of.
And the leader's like just throwing powder in people, and they're like,
I'm down. Then I don't know if we met them in the second one, because I didn't watch the second one. Mm. The Wind Traders?
No.
So we meet the Wind Trader tribe in this one as well, and I think that that's going to be the focus of the fourth one. Because aren't they all supposed to be like elemental?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the next one's going to be, but it's set to come out in 2029.
Yes, so but we meet all of them, and I guess really what it all stems from is Lang is still after, or Quaritch, I should say, is still after Jake Sully.
Yeah,
and that will never end until the day this Quaritch dude dies. I'm pretty sure. They thought he had died, and he came back. But then they have what turns out to be his child, a human child, living with them.
Yeah, Spider.
Spider, and he's always on oxygen.
Yeah, except for this movie, he changes.
Yes, something changes about that. But they start out with him going, and they want him to go live with the air breathers, mm-hmm. The pink people, I guess is what they're saying. And it's just the adventure of that. And, of course, they meet the Fire and Ash tribe. And Quaritch comes in and wants to take, you know, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
This movie is 3 hours and 17 minutes. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. It feels like it's 3 hours and 17 minutes long.
It's not that bad. You know, there are a few different stories going on. There is the main story with Jake. And then there's also the side story with his wife, played by
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, Saldana, where she's still kind of grieving over the loss of her kid from the previous movie, and she doesn't necessarily blame Spider, but she despises Spider because she hates the pink people.
Right.
And so that kind of leads to story of, you know, him going to live with the air breathers. And then that's when we meet the fire and ash people, which, you know, going into this movie, you didn't know a whole lot about, like, the different tribes and stuff, like the people living on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like, no idea. There was, like, cultist raiders there who, mm-hmm. you know, basically, you know, in one scene, the guy lit himself on fire to pop the air balloon. So yeah, they're crazy. They're kind of like cultists. And then when he takes the guns, because she's fascinated by the guns.
Yes.
To him, you know, they have their little weird ceremony party thing where she drugs him, and he's just staring at, like, this big, like, skeleton.
You all get to go on a trip.
It's pretty messed up.
It's the colors, man.
Yeah, and then also the whole storyline with Sigourney Weaver's character, you know, who she is and what she does. You know, she can speak to, what's the planet's name? Is it Gaia or something?
I can't remember. Right,
she, and, like, she reaches him, and, you know, it's also, her kind of, like, love story with Spider.
Yes.
And she helps Spider be able to breathe,
mm-hmm.
and he grows a little tail.
So cute.
Which is weird. But, yeah.
And what the basis of that is there's a lot going on once that happens for Spider, because Jake realizes, look, if they can get a hold of Spider, figure out how he's doing this, and what they did to make him be able to breathe the air there,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that will stop them from bringing more humans here, doing this to them, and they will take over everything again.
Yeah, and they kind of did capture him and kind of scan him, but I'm sure they'll pick that up in the next movie. But also, you got this whole story with the whales.
Yes. Yes, and as I said, my biggest issue with the first Avatar movie, I'm taking everything out of it. Yes, they're all beautiful movies. They are. They're all computer animated beautiful movies. They truly, truly are. But I don't like to be preached to about how I'm screwing things up.
Oh, get over yourself.
As a human race.
That's not what it's doing.
The first one did. This one was all about whaling. And you can't tell me that it isn't.
It's doesn't have anything to do with Earth or that kind of stuff. This is just a different story. You just need to stop thinking how everything's realistic. It's a fantasy movie.
I understand that.
It's fantasy.
I understand that. But James Cameron thinks that he needs to figure everything out with the world. And that's my biggest problem.
I did see something that James Cameron is, like, the only director who has, like, $3 billion franchises.
Yes. Terminator, this one, and Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, recently he's been taking shots at other filmmakers and at other studios and things like that.
Well,
and all this guy did with this movie was he put out, yes, there are some parts where you have actors and everything. This guy put out a 3.5 hour long cartoon. That's what he did. And as I said, it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It really is. But it's been beautiful since the first one.
Yeah, the technology's gotten a lot better from the first one, which he actually had a hand in creating.
Yes.
Which is, you know, that's kind of been his whole MO, is creating special effects, you know, with Titanic, Terminator 2, the liquid
metal, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
At the time, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, like I said, I don't think the movie had to be 3.5 hours long.
It was pretty long.
It was a very
3 hours, 18 minutes.
That's true. However, what I look at is the fact that there were so many times when this movie could have ended.
Yeah.
You know,
it did end kind of on a cliffhanger.
I look at the Batman, the Pattinson Batman, the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that movie had to be that long. There were so many points in that movie where it could have ended. And they just chose to keep going. And that's fine. The battle scenes in this are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They're end battle
unbelievable,
scene?
Yes. The first time you meet the Fire and Ash tribe is crazy.
Yeah.
That battle scene is crazy, where the guy lights himself on fire to take out one of their balloons. It's just, it really is a good flick. It was.
And they're like satanic, where they cut off the little ponytail to kill the other people.
That's just weird. Mean.
And then they like eat it.
Yeah, that's just mean. That's just wrong.
It's just like weird cannibalism.
Yes. Like I said, though, a good movie. I enjoyed it to a certain extent. I went and saw it here, and the people that were sitting behind me, I had to get up and move. Why, I don't know why you would bring a 3- and 4-year-old to a 3-hour-long movie. You know what's going to happen, and it did. And if I would have got my seat back kicked one more time, so I just went and moved. I actually stood up for the second act. Which was better than sitting for me. So, but I'll give this one 3. I'll give it 3 popcorn buckets out of 5. It was a good movie. I will go back and watch the second one because I haven't. And I will look at it from a fantasy perspective, Ryan. Okay. Just to make you happy.
You probably won't, but that's fine.
I will. I will give James Cameron this because he had a part of it. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
It really and truly is. So, what did you think?
I am going to give this one, I'm going to give it 3.5.
Okay. And like I said, it's all 3 of the movies they're beautiful. They really are. To go and sit and watch these things, they're fantastic.
I will say one thing that makes me a little upset.
What's that?
You have all these skinny blue aliens, but there's no fat aliens.
There's no fat aliens.
What the hell?
I don't approve of it either.
Yeah.
There was the one lady that was fat at the beginning of the movie, and then you find out she's pregnant. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's not fat. That's just pregnant.
No. It's not a way to live their life.
Where's the fat aliens?
Maybe they eat all of them.
Is that going to be in the next movie?
Maybe. You know, we're so inclusive about everything else. Where are the fat people?
Avatar 4, the Earthbenders.
I like it. James Cameron, if you're listening, there you have it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about worldwide and domestic box office. And there's quite a difference between the two, really. And we'll talk about that when we return on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, and now we're going to talk about what movies did good at the box office.
I think we should start with the domestic side.
You want to start? Should we start at number 10?
Yeah, start home.
Okay, we'll start at number 10 and work our way to the top. And this movie will probably change position, but you only have a few days left between now and then. But number 10 is Avatar Fire and Ash. These are, as I said, this is domestic box office, not worldwide, just domestic.
U.S. only.
So this was, we're looking at $217.6 million to come in at number 10 for the 2025 year, which is pretty impressive for a movie that came out on the 19th of December.
Yeah.
Number 9, How to Train Your Dragon brings in $262.9 million. Did you ever watch that one?
I did not. I watched the animation.
Yeah. Yeah, the animation is good. Number 8, the first
this is your favorite.
Yes, the first Marvel entry, and only Marvel entry, to be honest. The Fantastic Four, First Steps, $274.2 million. I liked this movie because of the fact that it finally got the Fantastic Four right.
Yeah, and this movie was so hyped up.
It was, but it was going to be. It's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, when I went to see Avatar, I got no trailers, so I did not get to see the new Marvel Doomsday trailer with Thor. I'm a little upset about that. A little upset.
I didn't see that one either.
The first week, they're bringing him out in 4 different weeks. The first week was Captain America.
Okay.
This week was supposed to be Thor.
Okay.
And then they'll release it. What they're doing is they put it in theaters the Friday, and then the Tuesday after they put it online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, I saw the Captain America one, and I saw the Supergirl one.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I did not get that. But the Fantastic Four comes in at number 8. And number 7, the movie I talked about a little bit earlier, $279.6 million, that's Sinners. This was a pretty good flick. Like I said, it had a lot of great actors in it, and it kind of threw you for a curveball. It really did. It's one of those movies that was like
Vampires of the South, who knew?
Yes, but it's one of those movies, though, that starts out kind of like a Sixth Sense movie, and you don't see the vampire thing coming. If you don't know what happens, You know, like, I know there was a lot of vibe out there when it happened, and people were like, this is a vampire movie.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Yes, I did.
Did it give that kind of vibes?
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. That's a great movie, by the way. It's a great movie. Did I ever tell you about the time I told my mom about that movie?
No.
She goes, that's terrible. I says, what do you mean that's terrible? She goes, he wasn't a vampire hunter. I said, how do you know he wasn't? You weren't there. Yeah. Close, but you weren't there, Shark.
Maybe that's why there's no vampires today.
Maybe. Number six, a movie that I really cared a lot about, Zootopia 2. Domestically brings in $321.3 million. Good flick.
Yeah.
Really good flick. Number five was Wicked for Good. That brought in $331.6 million. And just to kind of give you a little skinny on that one, didn't even crack the top 10 worldwide.
No. I know there are some people in this station who absolutely hated this movie, but went and saw it multiple times.
Number four, Jurassic World Rebirth, $339.6 million. It wasn't a bad movie.
No.
It was predictable, but yeah. It wasn't a bad movie. So
it's just, the guy who's supposed to be like the big, tough guy gets killed like, maybe 10 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
With his big gun who can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Right. Riddle me that one.
Francis.
But you at least get to look at Scarlett Johansson through the whole movie.
This is true.
So, then number three, Superman from James Gunn brings in $354.1 million in domestic box office. And this is just the beginning for DC as far as their cinematic universe is concerned. Like I said, we're going to get Supergirl. Man of Tomorrow was already scheduled. I just read the other day that they're going to start filming Batman Brave and the Bold for in 2027.
Who do they
have? They haven't named it yet.
Okay.
Have not said who. So this is just kind of the start of that one. At number two, Lilo and Stitch, the live-action film from Disney, brought in $423.7 million. And at number one,
no,
a Minecraft movie, $423.9 million. And I'm just looking over this whole thing. The only original IP in this whole movie list was Sinners. That made top 10 box office.
Yeah.
Everything else was either a remake, a prequel, or, you know, previously been out there, or a video game movie.
Yeah, for domestic-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get to the worldwide.
The worldwide box office. Number 10,
Superman. Which was number 3 on domestic.
Which was domestically number 3. That's right. $616.7 million. For the Man of Steel.
That dropped a lot.
It did. At number nine, one of my favorite movies of the year, maybe my most favorite, and we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment, F1 the Movie.
Yep.
And this one didn't even make the top 10 domestically, but I think we kind of knew that going in.
Yeah, Formula One's more of a worldwide sport, where here in America, they like their NASCAR.
They don't even care for IndyCar in America.
No.
But F1.
There are three Indy races, F1 races in the United States.
Was there Chicago, Miami, and Vegas? Is that what it is?
No, there's Miami, there's Texas, and then there's Vegas.
That's right. So, yeah, great.
The Indy 500, it's kind of like a...
And that's an IndyCar, though. That's not even F1.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, F1, great movie. Number eight, How to Train Your Dragon with $636.3 million. Now, that one was on the list, right?
Yeah, and that was number nine on domestic. So it moved up a spot.
All right. At number seven was the latest installment of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba Infinity Castle. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't know they were going to break it up into a two-parter or a three-parter, but it could have been better.
That brought in $714.5 million. At number six, Avatar Fire and Ash.
Which was
number 10 domestically, brings in $760.3 million.
And honestly, like you said, that's probably going to change.
It will change. It'll change before the end of the year. Jurassic World Rebirth. But here's the thing about that one, though. If that's where we're sitting right now, I don't see Avatar Fire and Ash making it to $1 billion.
Worldwide,
by the end of the year.
Yeah. But that's just end of the year, but it's, you know, it's total run.
Yeah, it might. It might.
Because most of the time when people release movies in November and December, it's more for Oscar reasons.
Yes. So Avatar Fire and Ash at number 6. And number 5 was Jurassic World Rebirth, $869.1 million. So, and that was what on our list?
That number 4. Was 4, so it dropped spot.
A little bit. A Minecraft movie at number 4 worldwide, $958.1 million. Which was the number one movie in the U.S. with $423.9 million. So it pulled up 600 and what is that? 630 more million dollars throughout the world.
Meh.
Yeah. Or not 600, 500. 530. So then the top three. Lilo and Stitch, $1 billion.
Which was number two.
Number two was Zootopia 2.
Which was number six
domestically, brought in $1.4 billion.
Animals.
That's right. And animation, because number one was Ni-Za 2. $2.1 billion.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But I'm not meant to.
Well, so that one was, you know, it's a Chinese animation.
Uh-huh.
And so there are a lot of people in China.
There are quite a few, so, I've heard.
Of course, they're going to go see it. And if you get a dollar from every single person in China, that's going to be over $1 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, if Elon Musk has 200 and some billion dollars and there's 8 billion people in the world, why can't he just give us all $1 billion? He'd be fine, right?
He would, but he's not going to.
It's not how maths work. So there you have it. So yeah, a little bit of a contrast and a difference in domestic and worldwide box office. So we'll see what 2026 brings. Because we know, and I will even say this, there are already people touting it, and it's a year from coming out, that Doomsday will be the biggest movie of 2026.
Well, it's being hyped up to be that way.
It is.
Which is smart on the marketing people's side. If we start hyping this movie up and get people so excited and tease certain people are coming back, then, yeah, everyone's going to go out and see it.
Well, and I will say this, because we all know how Jordan feels about the Marvel Universe now. He doesn't really care. You know, he says once his interest in the Marvel Universe ended with Endgame. He doesn't care about anything that goes on in the Marvel Universe. He told me the other day after watching the new trailer that since Steve Rogers is coming back, he's interested again. So it's working. Whatever they plan to do is working.
Well, isn't Star-Lord going to be in it too?
Haven't heard. Well, they're all coming back eventually. At one point or another, they'll all be back. Mm. So we have, you know, everything. So we'll keep an eye out and an ear out for that one and maybe have some fun with that one when it comes out. All right, so that is the top domestic and worldwide box office movies for 2025. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Ryan and my favorite movies from 2025 when we return on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
All right, imbeciles, everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 3, and action.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, and let's talk for a moment now about some of our favorite movies of the year. First off, let's just dive right in first, because if you're going to have a best of, you got to have one or two movies that were just horrible that you don't want to see ever again. And I think for both of us, one of them is the same movie. It's Ryan's World.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Which we will never get another Ryan's World movie because, in case you haven't heard, the parents got divorced.
They did,
and now the child and the father just play video games online now.
It was that bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that, and I don't know. Do you have another one that you can think of off the top of your head that you really didn't care about?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sure there's some. The Oath came out few years ago. It wasn't this
actually,
year.
Actually, I'm just looking it up. Ryan's World came out in 2025. That's how long that movie has stuck with 24. That's how long that movie has stuck with me, though.
Wow.
That's a horrible movie. You know, I didn't... We usually, when you go and see Angel Studios films, you have one that you don't like. But I don't think I've had one that was just, eh.
There was some that made you go, what? But, you know, that's what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, and I think they're getting better, though. I think they're getting better.
Yeah, there is two coming out that I'm actually looking forward to. There's one with, Kevin James.
Yes, I saw that one.
That one. I think I sent you the trailer where he gets left at the altar in Rome and basically goes on his honeymoon by himself and reconnects and finds love.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right, so I think, what should we do? Should we just go back and forth and swap? You go ahead and start. Give me one of your best movies of the year.
So I was looking over our list, and there's three movies on here that we have on the that are same on our list. And I'm pretty sure the one on the top of your list and the one on top of my list is the number one for both of us. So let's leave that one for last.
Okay, that's fair.
So let's start with another one that's on both of our lists, Predators Badlands.
This movie surprised me.
Yeah, I did not expect the Predator movie to be this good.
And, you know, once again, this movie was... I had kind of walked away from the Predator franchise, but to come back with this movie and watch this, it was a really, really good movie. And yeah. I didn't think that it would be.
Yeah, the whole story arc about it, how it kind of, It's kind of a continuation of some of the other movies was where you don't really know a whole lot about the Predators and their clans and stuff. And so you really dig into that. But, you know, the robot, she's from the same company. She's not Michael Fish.
Fassbender.
Yeah, Fassbender, you know, she's not him, but she is one of those type of robots. And it's really interesting to see them kind of fix themselves.
Yes. Or try.
Yeah.
In that one scene. Try and fix yourself. Speaking of which, I meant to bring it up and I forgot about it. Did you catch the alien throwback in Avatar Fire and Ash? When the Kiri that's played by Sigourney Weaver tells the Fire and Ash queen to leave her mom alone, you
bitch. Oh.
Like, that's an alien throwback right there. Not bad. Not bad. No, it was. Predator Badlands was a good flick. Then I think you said, I don't know if you put this on your list or not, but it's on mine. Thunderbolts.
Yeah, that's one of the three.
Thunderbolts, to me, was really a different superhero movie.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a superhero movie. Because the only person who was really kind of like superhero-ish was the villain.
Well... That's true.
You know, everyone else, you know, it was just like they either had like advanced strength or, you know, they're good at shooting and killing people.
Right. But so, no, I think the overall story of it at the end was what really got me and made me think that it's a different movie because of the fact that it's all about the point to where that you don't see in Marvel movies that deal with superheroes about being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing yourself to realize that you're not alone and that there are other people that care about you. And that was the one main thing that I took away from Thunderbolts. And I would love to see Sentry get it right and, you know what, and come out and be pretty cool in Doomsday or Secret Wars, wherever they decide to use him next.
Yeah, well, at the end of Thunderbolts, you know, you saw the Fantastic Four ship, so...
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how that ties into the Doomsday.
Yes. All right, your next one.
All right, so since we're going to leave the last one that's on both of our lists for last, my next one is Electric State.
That one was okay.
Yes.
Not bad. Not bad. That was Chris Pratt and Millie Bobby Brown.
Yep, and it's based off of some books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the books are good.
The books are good.
About, you know, the robots, you know, AI... they were helping, and then they kind of had a little revolution, and then they were defeated and sent to kind of a quarantine area, which is actually South Utah, Northern Arizona. but she's looking for her little brother who can basically he can control robots do, you know, he's got something in his mind that they need. And so she ends up rescuing him with the robot's help. It's a great movie. One of my favorite scenes is where this woman's just walking the office building, and all of a sudden you just see this car flying in, and she's like, "What is that?" Then that starts off the whole war. You know, it's a thriller. It's got a little heartstring pulling on it. It's a comedy. You know, you have to with Chris in it.
Yeah.
He can't play a serious
role. But no, and it was a really good flick, and that's on Netflix. You can check that one out. Another one that's on Netflix that's on my list that's not on Ryan's list is Nona's. Now, this was Vince Vaughn and Brenda Vaccaro, and I believe Susan Sarandon was in this one. And Vince Vaughn decides that he's going to take some money and open a restaurant, and he's going to hire all of these old Italian grandmothers to run this restaurant in New York City.
Yep. But it doesn't go so well because the location he moves into, for some reason, there's a one guy who not necessarily is like the boss of the area, but, you know, he's well respected, and he feels that they didn't respect the old building because I guess it was called Joe's or something like that, and they just tore down the Joe sign and left it in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of getting him, you know, to accept them.
And then at the end of the movie, the whole neighborhood comes out because he's getting ready to close. He's going to close up shop. He can't make it. And at the end of the movie, the whole neighborhood comes out, and that guy comes in, and he says, you know, I apologize. You've done right by him and everything. You know. And the movie is actually based on a true story. The place is still open today, and he brings in different Nonas from different nationalities. Like one night, he'll have Polish food, and then he'll have Asian food. But he brings in a grandmother from that nationality, that culture, to cook that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really interesting, great movie there. What you got next?
All right, another one of mine, which is kind of a comedy, Death of a Unicorn. This movie was awesome.
We talked about the fact this movie was better than it should have been.
Yeah, it was a lot better than it should have been. It's got Jenna Ortega and Paul Rudd in it, and you know, Paul Rudd's just trying to, you know, keep his family afloat after the death of his wife. And, you know, he's got kind of a rebellious teenage daughter who, they're kind of drifting apart. But they're going to go meet with his boss, which owns like a big medical company. And they have this big house on this like animal reserve. And on the way there, they accidentally hit a unicorn with their car.
Yes, it's a great film. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And I caught that one. I believe it's on HBO Max still.
I just
looked at that.
It is a great one. Watch it.
Yes.
You'll laugh. It's
Yes, I enjoyed that one. Going back a little ways, The Accountant 2.
Okay.
With Ben Affleck and John Bernthal. I liked this movie. I really did. Plus, it made me kind of go back. I'd never seen the first one. I watched it. This movie, Ryan and I went and watched in D-box seats.
Oh yeah.
And every time the gun would go off, it shook your seat. Every opportunity that it had when the movie made noise, it shook your seat. I ended up turning mine off about halfway through it.
Yeah.
But great story about two brothers getting back together. John Bernthal in this is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
the best scene is when almost towards the beginning where he gets to the hotel and he's trying to psych himself up for something, and he calls this lady, and it's all about the fact that he wants this dog and he doesn't want to wait any longer. He wants the dog now, but the lady's making him wait for it. Great, great film. I enjoyed this one. It was a lot of fun.
He ends up with a cat.
Yes, and he ends up with a cat at the end because he's a cat person.
Yeah.
So, no, I like that one, The Accountant too.
Another one on my list, which was very surprising, also kind of a horror movie. There seems to be a theme right now. The Gorge.
The Gorge was good.
Yes.
This had, was it Miles Teller?
Yep.
And Anna Taylor-Johnson in this one?
Yep.
No, great movie. It really was.
Yeah, it's a story about, so there's this gorge in an unknown location. They don't really specify where it is in the world. But there is, you know, there's something down there. There's some sort of creatures down there. And so there's two towers, one on each side of the gorge. And they get people to man them for a year. You spend 1 year there, and then they're supposed to give you like all this money. But in actuality, when you go to leave, they kill you.
Yes.
And so they never have to pay, you know, free work.
Free labor.
Yeah. But basically, they kind of, they're not supposed to communicate, but they end up communicating. And then he shoots a zip line across. So he goes over. So, you know, they start kind of getting involved with each other. And then the creatures attack. And one of them falls into the gorge. And so the other one goes down there to save him. And then you find out that it used to be like a research center. Whatever they found down there kind of mutated the people and all these creatures.
And if I remember, is Sigourney Weaver in this one? Is she the big boss?
She's the main, she's the woman who's in charge of the company
right.
that runs the gorge.
Okay. No, great movie, and it's on Apple TV.
Yes.
That was a good one to check out. Let's see. Mickey 17 with Robert Pattinson. This movie was absurd, but it was fun.
It was kind of weird.
It was fun. It's all about Mickey, and he is, I can't even remember what they call them, but he's basically unnecessary, pretty much. And so they get him to do all of these other things because then they can just replicate him and create another one of him.
Yes.
So anything that's like overly dangerous, they have these people do. And if they die, they just, it's like a reset button on a video game.
Yeah. Every day he has to go in and basically upload his memories.
Yes. And it gets tricky because at one point he climbs into bed with himself. And then he starts to realize what's going on, and it goes on from there. I liked this one. This was a fun movie. Mark Ruffalo was in this one as well.
He played a weird guy.
Yeah, yeah. But you need to check that one out. Mickey 17. I liked that one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of Angel Studios, The Last Rodeo.
That was a good flick.
That was a very good one.
That was with Neil McDonough.
Yep.
And I just lost my train of thought. Hudson. Not Ernie Hudson, no.
No.
Go ahead and talk about it, and I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it's a story about a grandfather who's kind of estranged with his daughter, who's going through some tough times. And he's an old rodeo champion from the PBR Championship Series?
Bubba. Michael T. Williamson. That was the other one.
Yeah. But it also has Shooter McGavin in it.
Yes, it does have Shooter in it.
But so he's retired and he's just enjoying his life down in Texas, I believe, was it Oklahoma?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Where he lost his wife, so he kind of estranged himself from everyone. But he's at his grandson's baseball game, and his grandson gets hit in the head with the ball. And then he's fine, and then like a few days later, he gets headaches and starts bleeding. So they go get a scan, and he's got a giant brain tumor, which is how his wife died.
Yes.
And so they need money for the operation, but his mother doesn't have – the insurance is not going to cover that. And so he was invited to go to this Legends – rodeo tournament where like the grand prize I think it was like $8 million.
I can't remember how much it was.
And so he gets there, and then there's only like one or two other old rodeo guys, and then like all these young rodeo, which I believe they were real.
Yes.
Rodeo, which you can tell they were not actors.
Yeah
But
that's very true.
But he ends up not winning, but everyone kind of donates because he had to leave halfway through it because his grandson needed to go into surgery. And so, you know, Shooter McGavin lent him his personal plane, and he flew him over and back so he can get back in time. You know, it's a great heartwarming story. You can find it on the Angel Studios website. Also, what is it? Homeland. Homeland's on that. That's a great series too. Also yep. Stars.
McDonough.
Yep. So that's another one of mine. What you got?
All right, I got. You knew it was coming. Superman. This was a great, great movie, despite what Ryan says. I think it was a great start for James Gunn into the big name. I loved the movie because of the fact that I think this. Superman got it right. And I'm not taking anything away from Henry Cavill. I'm not. His Superman was, it was a different story. This one got it right, though, because at the end of the day, yes, he is from another planet, but he was raised by humans to be human. And that was the great thing about this one. Superman available now on, I believe it's on HBO Max. Give it a watch if you haven't watched it yet.
One of my big problems with this is Lex Luthor's supposed to be like the smartest guy in the world. But he's dumb enough to let his girlfriend take selfies and photos and post
them. Yeah, but she was really hot.
It doesn't matter.
All right, what do you got next?
All right. Well, speaking of action movies, Ballerina. John Wick, Ballerina. Although the story wasn't about him.
Right, although he was there.
It was there. Great film. You know, it's a story about, well, it starts off in, was it Austria?
I can't remember if she was in Russia or Austria.
Somewhere where this little girl is, her family's being attacked or whatever or whatnot by the gypsy group, I believe that it turns out to be. Father dies. Her sister is taken into the gypsies, and she's thought to be killed. And she winds up on the street, and then she winds up in New York, and that's where she meets, I'm just blanking his name, head of the hotel.
Oh, I could have told you if you wouldn't have hit me. Yeah. Winston.
Yeah, Winston. And he kind of takes her to where the ballerinas, where John Wick was raised, and she ends up finding out, you know, who attacked her family because they have like certain tattoos, and then she goes basically to kill them, finds out her sister's still there. They meet up for like a minute, and then she dies, and then John Wick shows up and he helps her out, but he's not supposed to. He only gives her like 5 minutes. Yeah, it's an interesting story. It definitely leaves it up for. I like how they're expanding the yes. John Wick universe, yep. where it doesn't have to focus just on him.
Just on him. All right, so my next one is going to be Wake Up Dead Man. We just did this one a couple of weeks ago. I like these movies. I really do. I love the Benoit Blanc character from Daniel Craig in these Knives Out mysteries. I like them all, and this one was a really good one. Great cast as well.
Do you like him as Ben Blanc or as James Bond?
I like him better as James Bond because James Bond is a guy that can get answers. But he's not James Bond anymore. Now he's Benoit Blanc.
Okay.
So there you go. All right, next.
All right, so for me, Zootopia 2.
Great flick.
Yeah, I like the first one. This one, I didn't have my hopes up because, you know, Disney has been kind of turning out some flops the last few times, but this one really came out and, it's amazing. I like kind of the small little subtle jokes that are in there.
Yes.
Especially when they meet the lizard people.
It's a great flick. It was. It was a lot of fun. I liked that. Was another one that kind of surprised me. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. Fantastic Four First Steps is on my list. Great start for the Fantastic Four to finally get it right. And I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed all of the main characters in it, the leads. It was great. And now I just want to see what they're going to do with them in Doomsday.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so my last one before we get to our big one is 28 Years Later.
Great movie.
This one surprised me. You know, growing up watching the 28 Days Later, really liked that franchise, even though, you know, I'm not a big horror guy, but for some reason I like the zombie. It's, don't judge me, Dave!
I'm not judging.
But just, you know, how the continuation of the story, you know, it starts off, you know, in a little town that gets overrun by the zombies and the little kids there. And then you don't really meet him until the end of this movie. Which I know, I just saw the trailer for the new one that's coming out.
The Bone Temple.
Yeah, the Bone Temple. And he is in it pretty prominently.
Yes.
So it'll be very interesting to see how that works because apparently the rest of the world has gone back to normal living. It's just the UK that's basically been quarantined for the virus.
It's because of the alpha male.
Yeah. He wears pants in the...
Put some pants on that
guy. Well, not a pants, but like a loincloth.
A loincloth, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No more floppity-floppity.
That's right. And my last one before we get to the number one for both of us, I'm pretty sure, is Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein on Netflix. This was a great-looking film. Great story. I loved how they broke it up and told the story from different angles and different points of view. And great movie. Not really a major twist on the Frankenstein tale, but there were some subtle differences. So yeah, check that one out once again.
I actually had my mom watch that. She really liked it.
She liked it?
Yeah.
See, maybe it's just for old people.
Okay.
All right, number one, go ahead and announce it.
Number one for both of us is F1.
Great, great movie.
Brad Pitt.
And Javier Bardem, Kerry Conlon. The great thing about this movie is, and I told my wife that because she watched it for the first time. We just watched this again the other night. She watched it for the first time. I said, the great thing about this movie, and I think I told you that when we did it, is you get to see Brad Pitt as an actor.
Yeah.
He got to act, and he's a pretty good actor. And this was a great, great film. I don't have one problem wrong with this. I can't find one problem wrong with this one. You know, when the scenes when they're racing are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The scenes in the car, outside of the car, the sound editing, everything on this movie worked. It worked for me.
Yeah, and, you know, after watching this movie, I actually watched the Vegas F1.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a great race.
With Sonny Hayes in it?
No.
Oh, dang it.
And, you know, got me kind of looking into it, and there's actually going to be an American team that's going to be joining up next year from Cadillac.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
maybe, Dave, maybe next year we'll have to go down to Vegas.
Maybe they can
get... Or Miami.
Maybe they can get Sonny Hayes to drive Houston. For Cadillac.
Yeah.
There you go. Because they're going to need all the help they can get going against Ferrari and Red Bull and all those other big teams.
I believe Red Bull won this year.
Mm-hmm. So, great movie. Check it out. It's on Apple TV now. So there's our list. That does it for you. 2026 will bring different things for Dave and Ryan's movie review. So keep posted. Keep seeing what's going on, and we'll let you know. But until next time, go see a movie.
And that brings us to the end of this week's journey. But don't worry, Dave and Ryan have more movies to watch and more opinions to spew next week. You can relive today's episode at CastleCountryRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on Ryan and Dave's Movie Review.
Ah, the hell with it. Send it in, we're done. See you next week.